Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
Deputy Chief of Staff says Mr. Clinton was admitted for observation and testing. He's alert and in good spirits.
Clinton is 78 years old and has faced a series of health scares since he left office, including a successful quadruple bypass operation in 2004 and another heart procedure in 2010. His spokesperson tells us he is hopeful that the former president will be home by Christmas.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. Luigi Mangione pleaded not guilty to New York State charges in the killing of the United Healthcare chief exec. His attorney, expressing concern about a fair trial, says the case is being politicized. In a bench trial, a federal judge in Washington, D.C. convicted retired D.C. Police Lieutenant Shane LeMond of lying to authorities about leaking confidential information to the Proud Boys extremist outfit. This is ABC News. In Madison, Wisconsin. The funeral for Erin Michelle West, a teacher at Abundant Life Christian School, who was killed in last week's mass shooting. Her friend Nate Colbeck speaking.
She really loved being with her family. She loved summer camping trips. She loved wine tasting with Jack. She was so looking forward to taking the girls to Disney World again in the spring.
The 15-year-old girl shooter in the incident killed herself. An almost billion-dollar lottery jackpot. That'd make a nice Christmas present.
Nobody won the jackpot on Friday, so the next Mega Millions jackpot is sitting at an estimated $944 million. That's the seventh largest in Mega Millions history. 13 jackpots have been won over the years in December, but none this big. It has hit on Christmas Eve once before, 22 years ago. That was the first year of Mega Millions existence, as a matter of fact. That went for $68 million. It went unclaimed.
ABC's Will Reeve. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Looking for a home shouldn't feel like crawling through air ducts. That's where the Aaron Weber Group and Compass spring into action. Yippee-ki-yay, dream house seekers. The Aaron Weber Group helps you through the toughest real estate markets. Buying, selling, saving the world. They can do it all. You're looking for peace and tranquility, not Nakatomi Plaza. Get the home you deserve, only less stressful. Go to movetomadison.com. The Aaron Weber Group. No shoes required.
Welcome to the neighborhood, pal.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the Packers and the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the New Orleans Saints tonight on Monday Night Football, game time 7:15. I talked to Packers linebacker Edgerrin Cooper over the weekend after winning his second NFC Defensive Player of the Week award.
It's a big accomplishment. It's just simple. I keep saying it, but I'm just here to play football, have fun out there, and do what's best for my team.
The Saints will start rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler. Has he ever played in cold weather like Green Bay before?
I haven't played a snow game, but I've played in many, many cold games before in the Big 12, even in the SEC. Cold, rainy, windy.
College hoops, the Badgers with a non-conference win over Detroit Mercy, 76-53. Head coach Greg Gard working with shooter John Tonjay and his technique.
You just got to keep giving him sample sizes and experience and point those things out. We need him to continue to be more efficient at a high level more consistently.
That's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In trying to make Christmas sexy news, Kim Kardashian has put out a new music video. The reality TV personality released a video under her brother-in-law Travis Barker's label. She used a breathy version of her own rendition of Santa Baby, one of the worst Christmas songs ever, and put images of herself crawling through a party in a blonde wig and skin-colored jeggings. I'm not sure if she realizes it either, but her cleavage was totally showing. I'm sure she's going to give that editor an earful. In the video, there's a donkey, Mary and Joseph, people fighting, people raking money, and a bonfire while people play Twister. For what seems like an eternity, Kim crawls through the chaos with her own singing as a backdrop until she finally stops between Santa's legs and looks up to find it's really Macaulay Culkin. The only good thing about the video is that her singing mercifully stops along with the music about midway through, so it's just her crawling with weird images. It's just something you have to see for yourself, folks. You can check it out free on YouTube, but you'll still want your money back. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-20s. And mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a high in the low 30s. Christmas Day, more clouds, mid-30s. A cloudy sky for Thursday, a high in the upper 30s. Rain possible Friday and Saturday as highs nudge to near 40. Right now it's 33.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Mr. Zomers and I sit down to bring you a special Christmas holiday show and happy Hanukkah as well. Lots of Christmas music and reflections on the season. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, top of the morning to you, or afternoon, or whatever it is, wherever you are. It's a brand new week, a brand new day. It's the start of the week. The hottest news right now is that in Altoona, Pennsylvania, police are questioning a man they believe may be the shooter in the UnitedHealthcare CEO case. A worker at a local McDonald's called in and said, this guy looks just like the pictures, and boom, the cops showed up. No idea yet whether this is the same person or not, although apparently they recovered, when they stopped him, they recovered a number of false IDs, so it's looking like he's been busted. We'll see. I'll keep you up to date. Meanwhile, we've got a lot to talk about today. When profits kill, the deadly cost of treating healthcare as a business, apropos of the killing of Brian Thompson, the CEO of UnitedHealthcare. Also, they should go to jail. Donald Trump stuns Kirsten Welker by saying that all of the January 6th probers, the people on the panel, on the committee, the members of Congress, should be in prison. And Olivia Troy's attorney has responded to Kash Patel's demand for a retraction. It's hysterical. I'll tell you about that. Also, in the first hour of our program, because he's in France, he's going to be coming in at the bottom of this hour at 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern time. Cole Stangler, old friend of the show, well-known reporter. He now works for French television and lives in Paris, or lives in France anyway. And I wanted to get some detail on what's the deal with the collapse of the French government and what lessons can we learn from this. So that's our first hour. In the second hour of our program, where is the healthcare CEO bandit? Well, maybe we know, maybe in Pennsylvania. And why does the media hold Trump to a lower standard? We'll get to that also. In the third hour of our program, more bird flu coming. New cases in Arizona. I'll tell you about that. Also, voters in Missouri wanted a right to abortion. Republicans are trying to screw them. So I'll give you the details on that. So we've got a lot to talk about today. My op-ed, published over at HartmanReport.com, is titled When Profits Kill, the Deadly Costs of Treating Healthcare as a Business, Our Daily Take. And in it, I point out basically that we are the only country in the world that inserts for-profit health insurance companies between people needing health care and people providing health care. That's it. Or at least the only developed country in the world. Now, I realize you could argue that Switzerland does, because Switzerland's system is entirely privatized. But the companies that provide health insurance in Switzerland are heavily regulated, and the majority of them are nonprofits. So there's really nothing like UnitedHealthcare anywhere else in the world. A company that makes billions of dollars a year in profits that is reportedly at the very top of all of the health insurance companies in America in denying claims. So here we are. What do we do about this? Well, actually, there's even a larger picture here. And the larger picture is, you know, what is the purpose of government? Why is it that every other developed country in the world has universal health care? And arguably even Switzerland. Every other developed country in the world does, and we don't. We have 25 million people in America who have no health care. And if Trump keeps the promises of Project 2025 and his own promises to gut the Inflation Reduction Act, you're going to see that 25 million Americans with no health insurance go up to 30, 40, 50, maybe as many as 60 or 70 million Americans as they dial back on Medicaid, which, by the way, is a single-payer healthcare system. It's just not universal. The United States government, well, we pay a little over $12,000 per person per year, we Americans, man, woman, and child, everybody in the country, we pay a little over $12,000 a year for health care. In the average of all the other developed countries in the world is around $6,000, about half. But which means that about half of those developed countries spend less than $6,000, about half of them spend more than $6,000. The closest to us, the most expensive healthcare country in the world is Germany. They spend around $9,000 a year for healthcare. So why are we spending $12,000 a year? It's so the CEO of UnitedHealthcare can make $10 million a year. This is not rocket science. And not just UnitedHealthcare, obviously. It's and the for-profit hospitals and the big drug companies and the pharmacy benefit managers, another category that literally does not exist in any other developed country. It's like there's all these leeches that have inserted themselves between average Americans who need health care and physicians who are providing health care. And they're all trying to make a buck off it. Now, what is the purpose of government? The founders of our republic tell us that the purpose of government is to provide for, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To meet the needs of the people in a way that allows them to get on with the business of life. And I don't think you can identify anything more essential to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, than being healthy. Not only do we spend twice as much as the average of all the other developed countries in the world on healthcare, but we have worse outcomes. We have the developed world's highest maternal mortality rate. We have the developed world's highest infant mortality rate. We have, for several years now, we've had a declining lifespan. Now, you know, America is really a mess. We're like the sick child of the world. And now you've got Trump coming in saying, we're going to make it worse. We're going to give even more money to these giant health insurance leeches. How are they going to do that? Well, they want to make Medicare Advantage. Medicare Advantage is, you know, one of the major profit centers for UnitedHealthcare and for all the other insurance companies that provide it. We're going to make Medicare Advantage the default for Medicare. We used to have a nice single-payer system for seniors. It was called Medicare. Now, fewer than half of American seniors are on Medicare. Most of them think they're on Medicare, but they're not. They're on private insurance. It has the word Medicare in its name, Medicare Advantage, but it's not Medicare. It's paid for by the Medicare Trust Fund, and it costs about 6% more to Medicare than real Medicare does. Does that mean that Medicare Advantage provides more services or benefits? No, they provide less or fewer. We spend, in the United States, we're spending over the next decade, if nothing changes, we will spend between $50 and $60 trillion on health care over the next 10 years. If we had Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All, single-payer system, which, by the way, would cover everybody, there would not be 25 million people without health insurance. It would cover dental, it would cover vision, it would cover psychiatric and psychological services, it would cover hearing. It would fill in all the cracks. There would be no 20% deductible or whatever that you need a Medigap policy for. If we had all that, it would cost us $32 billion over the next 10 years. Now, you'll actually recall back when Bernie was proposing this and running against Hillary Clinton in the primaries back in 2016, the Clinton campaign was running ads going,
Bernie Sanders' program will cost $32 trillion over the next 10 years. Holy cow. Without mentioning that if we just keep the system we have, Obamacare, it'll cost $55 to $60 trillion. They just made it look like Bernie was like Mr. Big Spender. The reality is every other country in the world has figured this out. Why haven't we? Well, because five Republicans on the U.S. Supreme Court legalized the bribery of politicians. It's real simple. What do we do about this? Well, obviously, we have to get big money out of politics. Which reminds me, there's a federal law that says that federal contractors cannot contribute to presidential, to any federal campaign, to federal campaigns, including the president. How did Elon Musk, who owns SpaceX, which is a federal contractor, get away with basically buying the election with $270 million of his own? Isn't that illegal? Anyhow, I'll be right back with you 15 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Stick around. We'll be right back. Did you know that December 15th was Bill of Rights Day? It's the day we celebrate the freedoms that define us, like freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and of course, freedom from religion. This year, the Freedom from Religion Foundation is giving you a reason to celebrate even more. From now through December 31st, you can join FFRF for 50% off membership, only $20. Whether you're passionate about keeping religion out of government, protecting the rights of non-believers, or advocating for reason and science, FFRF is leading the fight, and they need your support. Membership includes so much more than just being part of the movement. You'll get their newspaper, Free Thought Today, advocacy, and the satisfaction of knowing you're standing up for your rights and the rights of all Americans. So don't wait. This 50% off deal is only available through December 31st. Visit ffrf.us/Hartman today, or text my name, Hartman, with two N's, H-A-R-T-M-A-N-N, to 511-511. Text Hartman to 511-511 and join the fight for freedom from religion. Text fees may apply.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
They drank coffee all day and into the night. Coffee and cigarettes. Yeah. You know, the Winstons were going and blue haze in the house.
That's what we did for fun. That, yep. Before cell phones.
Yeah, he said, well, you know, you smoked, right?
I said, yeah. But that's what we did with our hands at the time.
Now we just hold phones.
Yeah.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted.
A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Hey, you ever exercise and watch your diet to try to get your cholesterol levels down, numbers down, and don't see any results? Yeah, it can be frustrating. Well, your best source for supporting healthy cholesterol levels is Superbearing Advanced Cholesterol Support. Superbearing is an amazing plant-based supplement from nature formulated with an ingredient that not only helps support your metabolism, it also helps support healthy cholesterol levels nearly three times more effectively than just diet and exercise alone. You heard that right, three times more effectively. Plus, clinically studied berberine is shown to have nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. I feel great taking Superbearing, and always remember to take my one capsule a day. It's one of the best supplements out there. Use the best source for your heart health, Superbearing Advanced Cholesterol Support. Go to superbearing.com. to get 15% off and save even more on bundles with the promo code TOM. That's T-H-O-M. The website again, superbearing.com, B-E-R-I-N-E, superbearing.com. And the code to get 15% off and save even more on bundles with that promo code is TOM, T-H-O-M. Superbearing.com, code TOM.
While the sick wait in line, crossing battle lines, claims denied, lives put on the shelf, profit over people, justifying wealth. In a world where healing's priced and sold, human lives are a story untold. But what's the cost, what's the price we pay when the system steals our hope away? Health denied for the sake of greed, broken hearts and a world that bleeds. We need care, but they turn their back. Profits rise while compassion lacks.
Donald Trump did an interview with Kristen Welker that was published or aired over the weekend. I believe he did the interview on Friday, but I could be wrong. But in any case, it ran Sunday morning and on NBC's Meet the Press. And basically, he said that he thought that all of the people who were on the January 6th committee, that was a committee created and authorized by the United States House of Representatives, should go to jail, should go to prison. When she asked him, will you direct your FBI director to put them in prison, he said, no, not at all, or his attorney general. She said, are you going to direct your FBI director or your attorney general send them to jail? He said, no, not at all. I think they'll have to look at that, but I'm going to focus on drill, baby, drill. Which is, Trump's way of saying, well, yeah, I talked to the fossil fuel billionaires who fund the Republican Party, and they just want to get rid of all the regulations and all that kind of thing. You know, the price of gasoline nationwide today was $3.02. Price of gas is falling. Now, why would that be? I mean, hey, it's winter. We use more oil to heat houses. Well, not so much. People have been shifting from oil to natural gas or electricity. Big move toward heat pumps. They're cheaper. They're more efficient. They don't destroy the environment. And, it appears that the main driving force for driving down the price of gas is the number of electric vehicles on the road. Since I've been driving an all-electric vehicle, I have an Ioniq 5, and I just love it. It's a Hyundai. And we used to have a plug-in Toyota Toyota Prius was what it was. It was the plug-in hybrid, you know, kind where it goes 25, 30 miles on an electric charge, and then after that, the gas power comes on, but now it's all electric. But since I've been doing this, since I've been driving these cars, I've been noticing all the electric cars on the road. And it's like, you know, every couple minutes, there's another electric car. They're all over the place here in Portland. I don't know about where you live. But what this has done is it's driven down the demand for gasoline. And it's happening worldwide. I mean, in Norway, starting next year, you can't sell an ICE engine, an internal combustion engine. All across Europe over the next 5 years, they're gonna phase out gasoline and diesel-powered engines in large part. And here in the United States, I mean, the Biden administration has set a goal for, I think, 2035, although you can bet Trump is going to do away with that. But, you know, bottom line, gas, you know, the gas industry, the oil industry does not need any help from Donald Trump. They're doing just fine, thank you. I think where you're going to see most of Donald Trump's efforts focused on behalf of the fossil fuel billionaires who own the Republican Party is going to be in making it easier for them to pollute, making it, you know, doing away with the environmental regulations on refineries that prevent people who are downwind from the refineries from getting cancer. You know, doing away with benzene restrictions, you know, doing away with the requirement that methane not leak, for example. You know, just things that'll increase the profitability. Meanwhile, Kash Patel has threatened Elizabeth Troy, or Olivia Troy, rather. You know, she was one of the top aides to the former Vice President Mike Pence, and she's a Republican. Kash Patel had threatened her with a lawsuit. And Mark Zade, who's just a brilliant lawyer, he is her lawyer, and he responded by saying, but to your specific question as to Mrs. Troy's intentions as to her retraction, I think Monty Python expresses it best. And then he's got this picture where the Monty Python guy is holding his thumbs in his ears and wiggling his fingers, you know, waving, like, nyeh, 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 not going to do it. Don't think so. Wouldn't be prudent. Yeah. Good on Olivia Troy. Kash Patel is starting to make the rounds in Washington, D.C. Got a nice, respectful meeting with John Tower, which I saw on television. So, anyhow, we've got, you know, Syria, by the way, fell. Bashar al-Assad regime fell over the weekend. And it looks like the guy who shot the CEO has been busted in Pennsylvania. I'll fill you in on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Helping you win the water cooler wars. I'll be right back with you.
Met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
Right now, you can switch from cable television to satellite television for free. That's right. We're offering free equipment, free installation, plus get a free $100 prepaid Visa card. Call the satellite TV hotline right now. Make the switch from cable to satellite television and expand your viewing horizon. On top of free installation, for a limited time, we're offering a fixed price guarantee. With satellite TV, you'll save money over your expensive cable bill. Plus, get access to hundreds of channels. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our seniors and military discounts. So make the switch to satellite TV right now. Everybody gets free installation, free equipment, plus a $100 prepaid Visa card. Call right now and you can switch to satellite TV and be watching everything you wanted to within the next week. And remember, installation's free, so call right now. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. Former President Clinton is in Georgetown University Hospital in Washington, D.C. after developing a fever. His deputy chief of staff says Mr. Clinton was admitted for observation and testing. He's alert and in good spirits.
Clinton is 78 years old and has faced a series of health scares since he left office, including a successful quadruple bypass operation in 2004 and another heart procedure in 2010. His spokesperson tells us he is hopeful that the former president will be home by Christmas.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. Luigi Mangione pleaded not guilty to New York State charges in the killing of the United Healthcare chief exec. His attorney, expressing concern about a fair trial, says the case is being politicized. In a bench trial, a federal judge in Washington, D.C. convicted retired D.C. Police Lieutenant Shane LeMond of lying to authorities about leaking confidential information to the Proud Boys extremist outfit. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sequels led the way at last weekend's domestic box office. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 led the way with $62 million and was followed up by Mufasa, the Lion King prequel, which finished with a disappointing $35 million at the U.S. box office, despite playing on 400 more screens than Sonic. Despite grabbing second place in the U.S., Mufasa was number one globally with a take of $122 million. Finishing in third place was the juggernaut Wicked, which pulled in $13.5 million at the box office, putting its grand total domestically at about $400 million. Wicked leapfrog Moana 2, which finished in fourth place with $13.1 million at the box office. The borderline religious film Homestead finished in fifth place with $6.6 million despite not so great reviews. The Brutalist, a 3.5-hour film that actually has an intermission, opened in limited release and pulled in $266,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was only on four screens. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's the Packers and the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the New Orleans Saints tonight on Monday Night Football, game time 7:15. I talked to Packers linebacker Edgerrin Cooper over the weekend after winning his second NFC Defensive Player of the Week award.
It's a big accomplishment. It's just simple. I keep saying it, but I'm just here to play football, have fun out there, and, you know, do what's best for my team.
The Saints will start rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler. Has he ever played in cold weather like Green Bay before?
I haven't played a snow game, but I've played in many cold games before in the Big 12, even in the SEC. Cold, rainy, windy.
College hoops, the Badgers with a non-conference win over Detroit Mercy, 76-53. Head coach Greg Gard working with shooter John Tanjay in his technique.
You just got to keep giving him sample sizes and experience and point those things out. We need him to continue to be more efficient at a high level more consistently.
That's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-20s. And mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a high in the low 30s. Christmas Day, more clouds, mid-30s. A cloudy sky for Thursday, a high in the upper 30s. Rain possible Friday and Saturday as highs nudge to near 40. Right now it's 33.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no healthcare policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
The can of coffee that I had here for our coffee maker, I don't know what happened to it, but it tasted like cigarettes the first time I brewed, the first time I brewed the coffee maker here. I don't know if I've gotten used to it or if the flavor has just gone away somehow. Maybe people are putting their cigarette butts out in that can and you didn't know it.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Christmas Eve. We will have our Christmas cookie exchange at 11:33. The pressure is on. And we'll wrap it up with another holiday edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11. On your trail,
check your nose, ambush, your diet. Let's have a vegan Christmas here. On the line with us is our old buddy Cole Stangler, the journalist based out of Marseille, France. He's a contributor to The Guardian, The Nation. He's in Paris today, covering politics and labor. Author most recently of Paris Is Not Dead, Surviving Hyper-Gentrification in the City of Light. ColeStangler.com is his website. And his blue sky, whatever you call it, name is ColeStangler.bsky.social or at ColeStangler. Cole, welcome back to the program. I confess I have never really understood French politics. Probably in part because I don't speak French. You live there. You do speak French, and you're a keen observer of politics. I've always had so much respect for your insights and your writings. Can you fill us in, like, kind of, you know, tell me like I really don't know anything, because I really don't. What is happening? The headlines here say that the French government has fallen, and yet Macron is still running around as a president. But I understand the prime minister's in trouble. I didn't even know there was a prime minister. Fill us in.
Yeah, thanks as always for having me, Tom. I really appreciate it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, France is what we call a semi-presidential system. So this is the constitution of the Fifth Republic, which goes back to 1958, created for President Charles de Gaulle. Now, France, up until the Fifth Republic, so up until the 50s, was a parliamentary system where you had, you know, normal parliamentary system like, you know, we might have in the United Kingdom or Spain. Or Germany, where you have a prime minister that basically comes from, well, whatever majority can be cobbled together in the legislature. So France still has this parliamentary system, but since the creation of the Fifth Republic in 1958 under Charles de Gaulle, the great World War II hero, this kind of towering figure, France created this very strong presidency also that exists alongside the National Assembly and alongside the parliament. And so what we have today is both a president that's elected every 5 years now, and you also have a National Assembly that's elected that the prime minister comes from whatever majority exists in the National Assembly. And so you have, you know, the situation, it's only happened a few times before in French history, three times where we've had what we call cohabitation, a president who's not from the same party as the prime minister. But that's kind of the background on the system. But basically, to give you the very short version of what the crisis is today, is that, so Macron, of course, is still president, but back in this summer, after the European elections, he decided to dissolve the National Assembly. That's one of these very strong presidential powers that the French president has, again, under this constitution.
This is the power the king has in England, right?
You know, there's people that call the French president, the system, the presidential monarchy. And, you know, if you want to go back deeper in French history, we can talk about how maybe this presidential figure is kind of hearkening back to the figure of the king. When Macron talks about, you know, his desire to have a Jupiterian presidency, in many ways is reflective of this kind of bigger tradition in France. You know, I talk about Napoleon as well. In any case, so Macron dissolves the National Assembly this summer. And what happens then? We have new elections, and the left wins a slight plurality of votes, but you essentially have three evenly split blocks that emerge in the National Assembly. And so Macron, you know, this tremendous self-inflicted wound, loses his relative majority in the National Assembly and throws France into political chaos. That's the first step of this. So dissolving the National Assembly, losing his majority in the Assembly. And then secondly, you know, we have this kind of, you know, mathematical problem where no party has a clear majority on its own. Macron, again, under the constitution, can name the prime minister. And instead of naming a prime minister that reflected what voters express at the polls, which is to say, the left and the center, voters unified to stop the far right from winning. Macron chose a prime minister hailing from the right wing, Michel Barnier. And Barnier's government essentially has fallen in the National Assembly to a motion of no confidence because he lost the support of not just the left, but also the far right. Again, these three blocks. We have three evenly split blocks today in France. And right now we're in a situation where the government is continuing to kind of pass day-to-day, you know, managing day-to-day affairs. But we're still waiting now on Macron to name a new prime minister. And again, we're in this situation of just political paralysis, crisis. And it goes back to Macron's decision to dissolve the assembly in June.
Now, it seems to me, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong in my understanding of this, because you live in Europe and I haven't lived there since the 80s. And when I did, I lived in Germany. So I can, you know, I was pretty well informed about German politics. But it seems to me that the two major forces that are shaping European politics right now and that are shifting Europe to the right generally are, number one, immigration of mostly brown Muslims, largely as a result of the Russian massive bombardment of Syria back in the day, and the essentially racist backlash to that. And neoliberalism, the immiseration, the impoverishment of working people and the reduction of the power of unions and the increase in the power of corporations and the very, very wealthy. Is that what's going on in France? And do you agree with that analysis of Europe in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're seeing these challenges, you know, appear across Europe. I think certainly in France, you know, we've seen both of these things play out. And I think they go a long way in explaining the kind of political crisis that we're in today. We've had, you know, to be clear, the neoliberalism, if we want to use that word, you know, isn't as strong as it is in the United States. But France, to give you an example, you know, and this is broadly true across Europe. We're talking about, you know, states that have more developed welfare states than the United States. But you want to take France in particular, you know, public services have always been essential. The state has played a significant role in providing housing, transport, education. We've had pretty high quality public services in France for decades. And what we've seen is sort of a slow decline in the quality of those public services because of certain political choices made by the governing elites. You know, and that goes back to even the socialists in the 1980s, which governed France, which instead of delivering on the more kind of progressive aspects of their platform, ultimately decided to have a more austeritarian restrictive approach to the budget. So declining public services are a big part of it. The economy, you know, the economic growth is lower in Europe and in France than it is in the United States, for instance. But then, of course, we can't really only talk about the economy. We have to talk about the backlash to immigration and the backlash, you know, that's amplified also by these economic problems. Parties on the populist far right that are able to capitalize on this widespread sense of frustration against the political establishment, but also, you know, this very anti-immigrant rhetoric, unfortunately, captures a lot of support. And you know, I've spent the last, you know, as I'm reporting right now on another book project, spent a lot of time talking to voters who support the far right National Rally in France, which is, you know, one of the three big blocs competing for power. And it's hard to isolate the those two factors you talked about. They interact with one another in complex ways, just like they do in the United States. You know, so we have a real hollowing out of France's economy, decline of public services, but also, like you said, there is a real backlash and you know, dog whistle type rhetoric that we see directed at immigrants that want to seek to blame immigration for the kind of problems that France is experiencing today.
The other thing we've seen here in the United States and a number of countries in Europe have seen, in fact, Romania just said, you know, we're going to cancel our election after a pro-Russian dark horse candidate was elected, apparently with enormous amounts of money and help and particularly social media help from Russia. We're seeing Russia interfering in the U.S. election. We're seeing apparently a friend of Russia, you know, Elon Musk, putting $270 million of his own money reportedly into the campaign. Is Russia playing a role in this in France as well? Are they supporting Marine Le Pen and the other hardcore right-wingers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there have been ties between the RN, National Rally Party, and the Russian state. You know, famously, there was a loan that the RN had to take out in Moscow when they were going through difficult financial times. So, you know, there's that famous bank loan. Politically, the RN, it's quite interesting because they used to, when they were called the National Front, used to speak quite highly of Vladimir Putin and the Russian state as kind of an example of a country that's not afraid to show demonstrate its national values, that's proud of its national culture, that's independent, quote unquote independent foreign policy. So the RN, the FN, now become the RN, had this kind of fascination, almost idealization of Russia, and a lot of that they have taken a step back from since the invasion of Ukraine, in part because it's just so unpopular. That's not right. A kind of politically savvy move in France today that you support the Russian war of aggression against Ukraine. So they've stepped back from making those kind of, you know, vocal support for Russia. But in some cases, there are ties. I'll just give you, you know, an example today in the context of the Syrian conflict. You know, you had members of the RN who supported the Russian involvement in Syria. We had a lot of images have been resurfacing today after the fall of Bashar al-Assad, but you had a coalition of, so this isn't the far right, but the mainstream right, including now someone who's with the RN, National Rally Party, went on a visit to Syria, meeting with members of the Syrian government just a few years ago. You know, so I wouldn't say it's necessarily the driving force in French politics today. I think that'd be a stretch to say, but you know, you'd have this kind of fascination with Russia, and I think it's, you know, there's a certain kind of ideological continuity between the European far right and the Russian government. So it makes sense to kind of, like I said, look up to this country that you see as sort of, you know, upholding these conservative national values.
Right. We see that here in the United States too, particularly with, you know, people like Tulsi Gabbard. Cole, I have a minute and a half here until I hit a hard break. How do you expect this all to play out?
Well, you know, I don't think anyone can give you really a clear answer to that in France. Anyone who tells you they know what's going to happen isn't telling the truth. But we have, you know, like I said, it's an evenly split, pretty closely split political situation here between three main blocs. I think, you know, if you're on the left, what was quite encouraging was that the left-wing parties decided to unite for those parliamentary elections that Macron called for. And the left, like I said, had a slight plurality, which is an encouraging sign. The problem now is that it doesn't look like Macron's going to name a left-wing prime minister. It would be very surprising if he did. And the left is going to have to try to conserve its very delicate unity that it has. It's already fraying right now. Some people want to meet with Macron and participate in maybe a new government. Others are a hard no. And I think the most important thing for the left is how do they stay loyal to those voters that said no to the far right, that said no to Macron, that want the left to offer an alternative vision? That's going to be the challenge for the left. And hopefully they can, you know, the leaders can figure out the right way to do that in the coming months.
Fascinating. Cole Stangler, one of our great reporters out there, based out of Marseille, France. Contributed to The Guardian, The Nation, occasionally on France 24, French television. I see you from time to time there, Cole. ColeStangler.com and Cole Stangler over on Blue Sky. Cole, thanks a lot for dropping by. I so appreciate the information.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Tom, as always.
Always a pleasure. I'll be back on the other side of this break in just a moment, 48 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with your calls right after this. Stay with us.
Everyone, if you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-540-2100.
I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-540-2100. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-540-2100.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Where can you buy goods made around the globe, knowing your purchase is also making a difference? It's Ethical Trade Co. in Madison. Ethical Trade Co. is a nonprofit. Product sales help end modern slavery by creating more opportunities for the artists. Shop online anytime at ethicaltradeco.com or in person 11 to 5 Tuesday through Saturday at 3565 Tulane Avenue across from Schenck Elementary in Madison. Ethicaltradeco.com. Goods for a better world.
Hi, this is Mike Clemens. I cover sports in Wisconsin for our Civic Media radio stations. Wishing you a happy and healthy holiday. We already have family arriving here. Excuse me. Grandma, that's not dark chocolate. That's a hockey puck. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs and gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workout, sleep, and even stress management. I was astonished when I first started using it. What a treat to know exactly how my body's metabolism is running. Lumen also gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. You can also breathe into it before and after workouts and meals so you always know exactly what's going on in your body in real time. And Lumen will give you tips on how to keep on top of your health game. I've made changes to my eating habits based on its feedback. So stay on track with your health this holiday season. Go to lumen.me/Hartman with two N's at the end to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N-N, for 15% off your purchase. Lumen makes a great gift, too. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode. Go to lumen.me, lumen.me/Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N-N, to get 15% off.
Take a look at the laws they pass, banning books in mass and stoking fear of those they don't control. It's beginning to look a lot like fascism, cops with riot gear. But the scariest sight to see is the hate they spread so free, year by year. A gag on your speech and a vote out of reach is the plan.
Welcome back, 54 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls here. Dave in Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, not too much, Tom. Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, on this situation in Syria, I guess it's better to start where I was wrong. I knew there was a big military exercise going on in the eastern Mediterranean. The Russians, the Russian Gerasimov, the chief of staff of the Russian military, right. His first call to CQ Brown, which is shocking in and of itself. But anyways, his first call to CQ Brown was warning.
Who's CQ Brown?
You know, CQ Brown is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He replaced Mark Milley.
Thank you.
Okay. His first call was warning CQ Brown that the U.S. should not, you know, send drones or anything near that exercise in the eastern Mediterranean. So I was going to call up and say, look, Russia's
going to defend Assad. Yeah.
Well, what they did is, you know, come to find out, they ended up sneaking him to Moscow. Now, what all the experts are saying, and this is where they're wrong because they're not taking into consideration Trump. Okay, what they're saying is Russia and Iran can no longer afford to back dictators. Okay, they're
that's not true.
Well,
go ahead.
Assad went to Trump first behind the scenes, seeking help to leave Syria, and he guess who else he went to? Now you can say, well, Trump's the president elect. It makes sense. No, he also went to Viktor Orban. Now, this is where I say this is not coincidence, Tom. This is not coincidence. And even calling these Republicans the pro-Russia party, which I think is the most accurate, it's the American pro-Russia party, people don't really know what that means, all right? And I admit it. I mean,
it means the pro-dictatorship, anti-democracy party.
Well, and here's the thing we got to keep into consideration. Russia is a very complex nation. They are not limited to just dictators, okay? Mm-hmm. What they really want to do is influence authoritarian, the leadership caste or class.
Oh, yeah. Putin is trying to make the world safe for oligarchy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's really the bottom line, and Trump is right there with him. And who's in Trump's cabinet now? What, is he up to 12 billionaires? I mean, he's over almost $400 billion worth of wealth in his cabinet. I mean, there's not even $1 billion worth of wealth in Biden's cabinet. So, yeah, I get it. Dave, thanks. I always appreciate your analysis. We're hitting the top of the hour. We'll be back on the other side of this break. What's going on with the health care, you know, with the guy who might have killed Brian Thompson? I'll bring you up to date on that. And why does the media hold Trump to a lower standard? We'll talk about those things and pick up your calls on the other side of the break.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Not much surprises me anymore, and it seems like every day there's something new to worry or have some concern about. With so much out of our control, one thing you can regain control of is your family's financial future with life insurance through SelectQuote. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less. While SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. Head to SelectQuote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience, helping over 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage since 1985. SelectQuote, they shop, you save. Get the right life insurance for you for less at selectquote.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. Go to selectquote.com/Tom today to get
a new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
T. Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome the deceased actor Jimmy Stewart. Don't ask me how we got him. He's going to talk about his film, It's a Wonderful Life. And then Santa joins me to talk about his illustrious career.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' 3 locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. His office says former President Bill Clinton developed a fever on Monday. He's since been admitted to a hospital in the nation's capital.
Well, former President Bill Clinton is under observation at MedStar Georgetown University Hospital here in Washington. His deputy chief of staff says he was admitted after developing a fever. He is there for testing, adding he is fine, awake and alert, in good spirits, and deeply appreciates the excellent care he is receiving.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. The House Ethics Committee released its report on former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. The report accuses Gaetz of regularly paying women, including a 17-year-old girl, for sex and purchasing and using illicit substances. He denies those allegations. A special prosecutor in New Mexico withdrew the appeal of the July decision to dismiss the involuntary manslaughter case against Alec Baldwin in the fatal onset shooting of a cinematographer. This is ABC News. See?